And welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, doing a thing until season 9 starts. We're talking about cartoons of adult properties, but not really. Chan, I'm a little confused by this. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis. Chan, what is this?
I was told this was a podcast about tariffs.
Are we watching cartoons?
Yeah, as everything crumbles around us.
Eventually, we're going to cover Sharknado and Tariff Reed.
Guys, are we ever going to run out of cartoons?
No. I'm sorry for both your sakes. No.
I started with it. I saw like one or two, and I'm like, oh, I'll just start it. I'll do a few more. And then I started throwing them into the calendar. And then we started like moving the calendar around. And then
I've done that a lot. Yeah.
Sort of throwing things in there. There's like, you know what? This is like a PG thing. Let's just throw that in there. And it's kept going. So now it's all out of sequence and weird. And also there's a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't really fly as like a bad idea for a cartoon series.
Yeah, but you put it in there.
Yeah, I know.
I like you trying to duck responsibility. You did it.
Oh, of course I did. I like surprising myself. And it often doesn't work out. And often I'm like, well, this sucks. But that's part of the joy of
Chan,
being me.
I want you to plan like some absolute bullshit cartoon and then put it on the calendar for like September. And then we'll all forget about it. And then come September, we'll be like, what is this nonsense?
Nope.
And you'll do it now. You'll do it. I feel that. Most anyway, who are you people?
I don't even know anymore, man.
Who cares, man? Tariff's going to kill us all.
I'm Gina Ippolito. If you're listening to this in the future, though, I do want them to know so that when they resurrect us using only our voices, which I assume will be possible deep, deep into the future, they resurrect the correct person.
No, that's why we say our names. We have over like 600 episodes of this show that future generations can train AI on, and they will be able to make autonomous, continuous, Knowing Is Half the Podcast. We have given them more than enough to work with. They will be able to invent cartoons that don't exist and then have us talk about them.
Yeah.
Honestly, maybe we should do this.
I mean, I think in the future, that will be their main concern, not bringing back like famous scientists or historians to explain the way things were, but bringing back middling podcast hosts to give them new podcasts.
I'm happy to have them train their AI on this because it could only make the AI stupider.
That's true, actually.
This is a very intelligent show. How dare you?
Every episode, every like AI episode of podcast is like, and then the Smurf put on its finest suit, and there and there was a butt, and big sigh. Bad episode. Do not like.
Long pause. I hate everything.
Pretty much nailed it. I don't even know why we have to finish this episode.
Honestly, good night, everybody. No, I mean, hold on. Chan, yeah, I saw you. Okay.
I almost pulled it. Almost pulled it.
Almost did. I believe you. That's why I had to say something very quickly. We watched The Men in Black. We watched Back to the Future last week, which is a PG, PG-13 set of movies, to Men in Black, which is also a PG, PG-13 set of movies.
But this
I'm wondering when the R-rated properties start coming into this. And then I remembered Chan eliminated the entire first half of this. And we're left with his last thoughts first.
But this had a good run. This ran from 1997 to 2001. I was too old for this at this point. I'm assuming you guys were too. So I don't really remember it. But it was like very, and I found this episode very enjoyable, especially because it's a season 4 episode. You know, at that point they're running out of storylines. And I enjoyed this. Like if I had been watching this when I was like 12, I would have been into it, or 10 or something like that. I would have been super into it.
I will say that, at the beginning of the episode, I was like, oh, okay, this isn't too bad. And then as it ran along, I'm like, oh, Jesus. Oh, we're going to do this again? Oh, God.
Oh, you thought it dragged.
It just started getting, it had run out of creative juice, and it was just sort of like spinning its wheels.
It seems like it should have been like an 11-minute cartoon.
Yeah.
But it was a 20-minute cartoon. I agree, but I will say that like every single cartoon, especially like every single action cartoon, and this might just be because I was just rewatching the Justice League animated series, one of my favorite animated series. And they also had a Colosseum battle episode, which also is a big thing in X-Men, the animated series. And in this one, like, it's Superman. He's brought to, like, this alien planet, and he's got to fight in the fighting pits. And so it's like, oh, shit, he's Superman. He doesn't like to hurt anyone. But also, this is a fight to the death, so what does he do? And they sort of, hamper some of his powers so he's not quite as powerful. Anyway, it's a great episode. It's a two-parter. And I was like, oh, yeah, I dig an alien Colosseum fight episode. I enjoyed this.
I will say my favorite episodes of 80s cartoons are the Flint Dilly inspired Games Master, because Transformers and G.I. Joe both did the same gimmick in their shows. And I loved them both immensely. One of my favorite episodes of G.I. Joe. I'd have to rewatch the Transformers one.
Yeah. Yeah. Colosseum episode is great. If you're ever writing on a cartoon and you're a couple seasons in, pitch a Colosseum fight episode.
I mean, before you had fighting games, that was all you had. Like, what if X fought Y? And, you know,
spoiler alert for what's going to happen in Doomsday and Secret Wars.
What? No.
I mean, this is just what we think.
What? Right?
It's gonna be Battle World, which is an entire world of battles.
I mean, probably the second one.
It will be the second one. The first one will probably end with him being like, "On to Battle World." Also, did you guys see that new Superman sneak peek? Looks good.
I didn't, but I'm already on board. Look, mm-hmm. I'm going to go see that as early as possible.
Yes.
I am on board for the Superman.
Same. Also, Thunderbolts tickets go on sale on Monday. I'm going to get those. I'm going to swipe that shit up as fast as they come.
Wait, you're going to buy tickets that early in advance for like 3 months from now?
Thunderbolts comes out in May, dude.
Wait, is it May right now?
Well, May isn't 3 months away.
It's too early.
May 2nd, that and tickets go on sale on Monday. That's going to sell out real fast.
Yeah, I'll probably go, but probably second weekend go.
It's going to be on 8 billion screens. It is not going to sell out anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't think Thunderbolts is going to sell out? Every Marvel movie sells out. Anyway, Alien Colosseum battle.
The Captain America versus the Red Hulk movie relatively early on, and I did enjoy that movie a lot. What really enhanced my experience was the fact that in the opening two fight scenes I expressed joy verbally by making, you know, sounds, noises, and general, you know, hell yeah comments. And there was a guy by himself who was drunk three seats to my right who started screaming at me and told me to go F myself.
I mean, we know you, though, and you probably did something to deserve it.
He thought I was, I mean, to be fair, I broke this down in my head a lot. He thought I was mocking the movie because I was racist somehow, because this some tracks. Of his comments were in line with opposing someone with that viewpoint.
Uh-huh. This tracks. I mean,
when I'm watching a fight scene, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. Get him. And like,
but to be clear,
this is what I do.
To be clear, and you were saying, yeah, get that black guy.
No, I was talking about Anthony Mackie crushing some white fools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he turned to me and he's just like, oh, you got to shout. What do you say? You got to heckle the black movie.
Oh, OK.
This was a white dude.
Uh-huh.
A very small white dude.
Are you sure it wasn't Chan in the shadows just following you around to give you shit wherever you are?
Look, he was giving me Chan vibes. I'm not going to lie.
Man, I ain't got time for that. I hired people out to do that job.
Yeah, it was just mostly uncomfortable to have my 7-year-old who's sitting next to me be like, Daddy, who is that? And I just turn around and as loud as possible go, some asshole. I don't know.
I mean, he might have been just annoyed that you were saying, oh, shit, in front of a 7-year-old.
If it's your own kid, I think you're allowed. I don't know. He
I don't
was.
Know that
I mean,
logic
to be fair,
holds up, man,
he had like a drink.
I figured I could beat him.
I would have beat this guy's ass. But that's not the point. The point is, like, why is this dude shouting at me for enjoying a movie, thinking I'm heckling it?
I don't know. This seems like a you problem.
No, it's an only Ray problem. And immediately, I mean, you know my wife, she's immediately uncomfortable the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
She's wondering if I'm going to fight this dude.
Did you?
Well, the thing is, after the initial onslaught, and I tried to make peace with him in the theater as the movie is happening, and I'm trying to just dismiss him, and then I'm trying to be like, all right, dude, you're fine. And then I have to, like, monitor my exclamations, which is very hard for me. I'm sure you understand.
Welcome back to the podcast where Ray talks about everyone who yelled at him in a week. It's a long podcast.
It would be a long show. I'm not going to lie. No, but then, like, at a certain point, my kid had to use the bathroom. So we had to walk past this guy to get her to the bathroom. And he was, like, refusing to make eye contact with me. So I think he understood it was over. And as we exited the theater at the end, I stood waiting again near the bathroom. And that guy walked right past me, and I looked at him. I gave him a look, I'll be honest with you. And he immediately turned his eyes away and hurried past me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I called out the fact that he was drunk at a 12:30 p.m. show.
People are drunk all the time now, Ray. It's 2025.
I mean, what reason do you have to not get drunk right now?
Exactly.
Ask yourself that question. Why are you sober? Yeah, nothing. Chan just went and poured himself one.
I got to get through this, man.
By anyway, look, we're like 100 minutes into this episode. It's the Men in Black cartoon. Men in Black. This is a movie series, that desperately is begging to be a cartoon show. And I am shocked at how well it did. You said, Gina, 4 seasons.
Well, 97 to 2001, so at least 4 seasons, maybe 5.
No, just 4.
Oh.
I looked it up on IMDb.
Still,
I actually did some research.
Yeah, 4 seasons, still pretty good.
4 seasons, not bad.
A lot of these, like, rando cartoons, episodes. A lot of these rando cartoons that are based on a movie only run for, like, one because they can't sustain the concept. But I think this is a sustainable concept.
Or Coneheads, 1 episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot you can work with in the Men in Black universe, right?
Yeah, aliens, exactly. Also, it's like part action. It's like an action cartoon. There's fighting and aliens. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I enjoyed this a lot. So it's going to be a Ray and Gina versus Chan episode, apparently.
Shocker.
This happens way too much lately.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, upsetting to me.
I think it's indicative of the fact that Chan is getting even grumpier as he gets older.
That tracks.
Chan, what reasons would you have to be grumpier?
Oh, gosh. I suppose I'm a bursitis. I don't know what a bursitis is, but once you turn a certain age, you just get one.
Yeah, I'll be honest, wouldn't have been my first round draft pick for you, but it makes a lot of sense. So now that you said it,
there you go. This is season 4, so yeah, like I honestly can't imagine watching this entire series because Jay is still a rookie in season 4.
That's
and cool. So like. Like, I get it. The dynamic's kind of fun, but also, like, Jesus Christ. Like, we're just, like...
How does he still only have a pistol?
With this?
Yeah. The episode opens with them going to HQ. And HQ at Men in Black headquarters is, like, where the most fun is had, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the screens, the aliens walking through, people trying to work office jobs. It's a wonderful everything in one place.
Yeah, it's very
so
Monsters,
it makes sense
Inc.
You would start there. Yeah. At which point he's hanging out with the 4 alien. Oh gosh, what are they called? you know, the four alien bug monsters.
I mean, they call them worms.
Yeah.
Worms, thank you. And
you forgot the
coffee.
Word worms, Ray?
I did somehow. Mm-hmm. Listen, don't judge me.
In fact, they are called the Worm Guys.
They're from the original movie. They are from.
They are there.
Also, yes. We should note that these are not. This is not Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
God no.
Oh, sure. Obviously not.
They got. They got like not even really sound alikes here.
Although
they got people doing their own thing.
Also,
they got Tony Shalhoub back.
Yeah,
they got Vincent D'Onofrio back.
Vincent D'Onofrio also in multiple roles too. Like good for him. I mean, he wasn't huge at the time. Like he wasn't a huge actor. This was like pre Law and Order Criminal Intent, but post a lot of movies like Mystic Pizza and Men in Black and Adventures in Babysitting.
Did you just use Men in Black as an example of a movie he'd done before Men in Black?
Yeah. I'm saying he was in multiple movies before this, but he wasn't as famous as he is now, obviously. But he plays a lot of voice roles in this cartoon, a lot of different ones, a lot of different aliens, which is cool. So yeah, they clearly had a good voice cast. And also I think if these two guys like they're at least they're not trying to do impressions of Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, I guess, because that would be even more ridiculous. But yeah, they do not have the same chemistry and sassiness as those gentlemen did in that film.
Not even a little bit. But they're playing the archetypes that these characters are, and they're just living the archetype. And I'm fine with that. That's all you mm-hmm. need to do in this role. So while
there's a great joke right early on when these worms are talking about coffee.
Italian roasted superioso.
Full body, but never bossy. Much like Sophia Loren.
Sacre bleu, the French rule.
Vive la différence.
Oh, that wasn't it.
To tell you the truth, guys, it's all just coffee to me.
What did he say?
Can it be?
The horror.
A grind is a terrible thing to waste.
I mean, that's a great joke. A grind is a terrible thing to waste.
I'll be honest, I'm into it.
I enjoyed their they're just like talking about coffee as a thing.
They're so into coffee. Like,
although
I was shocked.
This is like still like the late 90s and like the fanciest coffee they can imagine is Italian or French roast. Both of which are just burned to shit beans.
Yeah.
And
I mean, this is like, it's a kid's show. And if you said like, hey, what do you think? What people do you think make fancy X or Y? I could see that people would be like the French or the Italian. Like those are, when you're a little kid, those seem like fancy countries.
Yeah, well, I feel like I lived in a world where Colombia did not exist. And I guess pre-Sofia Vergara on Modern Family, maybe it didn't.
Well, I think to kids, they don't know. Like if you said like, oh, Colombian coffee, like they wouldn't get it. But if you say French coffee.
Right. Gina, neither of these are coffee beans are talking about. They're talking about the roast of coffee, like how dark you roast the beans.
I don't drink coffee, so I don't know what you're talking about.
The thing is, I thought this was a fun bit, and then they fucking just beat that horse all through the episode.
Oh, it was like, rough.
And there was a final callback. I'm like, you know what? If you'd cut out like 80% of the coffee jokes in the middle, it would have been pretty funny.
Listen, this is the same problem SNL has, and you like SNL, so
I do not for that very reason. Specifically,
Chan has told us
that
before,
reason.
If the sketch is less than 8 minutes, don't bother me.
Chan loves a long sketch.
He loves it.
Man, that's a part of the problem of this sort of thing is that you're trying to pitch it to, like, what age are you trying to pitch it to? Are you pitching it to kids? Are you pitching it to like tweeners? Are you trying to throw in jokes for adults? Because like that's only going to get you so far.
No, I think that this is a good kids cartoon with the occasional joke that an adult can enjoy.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Look, probably.
Mid-conversation, the bugs get warped out of the building by a teleporter.
They're worms.
Well, I called them bugs in my earlier note before I realized they were called worms.
Yes, that is in bugs were a completely different creature. The D'Onofrio creatures.
I'm not on board. Look, they found them using their sensors. I don't know exactly how. We got to do some movie magic to make that work in my head. But they're stretched far, far away to light years away to another galaxy, to a Roman-style planet. And our heroes got to go save them in a spaceship that travels at light speed. As they're expressing it, a thing we have never seen in this world before.
I'm trying to figure out if this Roman thing existed before, because I expected them to be like, oh yes, we got transmissions from blah, blah, from your planet and such. And that's why we're doing things like this. They mentioned an artificial sun. And so I was like, okay, well, like there's something that holds together here. We're just going to get like a quick, you know, couple lines explanation. That's all I need. And I got none of it.
None of it.
And even that would have been fine, except that, like, if you have these two things, you have an artificial sun and you have this weird Roman planet, and then you take pains to note that they are for completely different reasons they exist here, what the fuck?
Look, this is environmental storytelling, Chan. You're supposed to figure it out from the pieces.
But that's the thing, is they deliberately put things in here that don't go together. Like, they don't understand that their sun is artificial. They think the gods are doing it. So where the fuck are you getting all this Roman shit from?
Oh, and Chan makes fun of me for not understanding Legion.
This is a Planet of the Apes situation. They were at one point a very advanced society and they regressed. So okay. they still have this technology. They just don't understand it or how it works. Exactly Planet of the Apes. I mean, like they basically regress to a society that does Colosseum fights. This makes perfect sense to me.
Just been like, oh, our ancestors who built this place. And,
well, you know, some of us are smart enough to just get it, Chan. And that some of us is Ray, which means you should be very disappointed in yourself.
Ray gets things. He accidentally stumbles into thinking the correct thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
By chance.
You guys, I figured out Severance like seven episodes in, so I don't want to brag or anything, but I get it. The worms loving the coffee got old really quick.
That's what Chan said. You're just repeating what Chan said.
But I'm just reading my notes here where I'm like, I'm over it at this moment.
Yeah.
Chan was over it in moment one. I was over it in moment two. There are like nine moments during this episode. In this, I have to yield the floor to Chan.
Yeah, he's asking them for what kind of drink they would like.
Have you perhaps some of nature's noblest nectar?
You know, it's brown.
It's steamy and ever so beany.
And rhymes with toffee.
Ah, coffee.
Hit me, sister, hit me.
Don't be shy.
What's your policy on refills?
Can we run a tab? Friends to your health.
Back at you, Pally.
Cheers.
Go.
My hand.
He says, what's your policy on refills?
I think this is a funny bit. We all know people who are to take their coffee too seriously.
It would have been a funny bit if it were the only one. We played the other one earlier and it like just keeps going on. I do like that they say L'chaim at the end there.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
But there's parts in this bit that are good.
There are parts in this bit that are good.
If they had the temerity to do it only three times during the episode, I think no one's complaining. But it's the only thing they do the entire episode. And that's the problem. They're going to go, obviously our friend the worms are going to be put in an arena fight, and they establish right out the gate, this is a case of mistaken identity. I also like how they pay this off later in the episode.
Sure.
Yeah. A little, get ready for that little foreshadowing. But like they say, oh, don't you mean the weirds or something? Like, no, we got the worms. And then the guy who booked it is like, ha ha. Yeah, that's these are them. These are the people we wanted for sure.
This is 100% Mark Maron when he thought he was booking the Kids in the Hall, Kevin McDonald, and he got the film director, Kevin McDonald, instead. I was like, whoa, shit, you have a movie? I haven't seen your movie. I didn't know what the fuck is going on. It's great. Good times.
It's not unlike when the Who Would Win show booked Adam Rose, the comic book writer, not Adam Rose, the guy with 500 million Instagram followers who just reacts to things that other people made.
I would rather talk with a comic book writer than a reactor.
I would rather talk to the wrestler, Adam Rose.
Look, I wish the comic book guy, who was awesome, had the 500 million followers, and then we could all win. But that's not how life works. The low effort guy actually is the one that has all the run. I see how we got here, I guess, as a people, is what
I'm
trying to say.
How many people do you think stopped listening?
So the worm's still drinking coffee, doing bits about coffee.
And they usher them into the arena, but Jay and Kay have now arrived. And there's a big monster they've already established as a huge threat. The four worms see him and immediately start trying to run away from him all around the Colosseum, which makes sense. I would do the same thing. And so at this point, the emperor of this Roman society, it turns to his guy who booked this and says, "Are you sure you got the right guys?" He's like, no, man, this is part of their deal. You got to see it through.
Actually, I haven't checked. I meant to check this.
I thought you said those warts were great warriors, Octavius.
That's Otho, right?
From Beetlejuice. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, snap. Okay. I hear it now.
Ray.
In the moment, I'm not picking out voices unless it's Neil Ross.
Or Charles Napier.
Or Michael Bell. Those are the only two I'll pick up in the moment. Sorry.
Glenn Shatters. Okay. Whew.
Yeah, please. Okay, so our heroes, Jay and Kay of the Men in Black, are climbing up the roof after they attempt subterfuge, trying to, like, talk their way in. Having played many RPG video games and trying to talk the guards into letting me through and failing, this resonated with me. This is real world stuff right here.
Mm-hmm. You mean virtual world stuff?
I try to get in places I'm not supposed to go. You could ask certain people who had to remove me from a recent company presentation for not being allowed to be there. Could be anywhere.
So they're in a fight in the arena. They're jumping in to save the worms. And everything's going fine. And here's where I just felt like, oh, Jesus. We've got to create artificial stakes, you know, like.
They're not artificial. They're in a fight thing on a different planet. Those are real stakes.
Real stakes. And they drop down from the ceiling. And Jay is supposed to grab the four worms and then rappel up to the top and get out through the hole in the roof of this arena that right. they personally cut while right. Kay fights the big monster in the arena fight.
No.
These are stakes, Chan.
Kay does not have to fight them. He holds a gun on the monster who stops.
It's a great plan.
Gun and doesn't move because he doesn't want to get shot. Then they, Jay, who has grabbed the worms, falls. They all run screaming away into the smoke for no goddamn reason.
Falls. He rappels to the ceiling. The guards show up and throw a boomerang to cut the rope, dropping them comfortably 7 stories to the ground.
Yes, they should all be dead.
They should all be dead. Sure, that's fine. But Jen, no, you might not be from Omaha, but you need to learn stakes.
Oh, shit. Chan, are you going to take that, or are you going to go and murder Ray in his sleep?
Are as artificial as the sun in this cartoon.
How can the stakes be artificial? They are fighting to the death on an alien planet.
No,
no higher stakes than that.
No, they have it taken care of. Like, everyone's, like, standing off because they've got guns pulled and they're going to go away. And then the worms decide to run away.
They run away because the rope was cut and they fell 7 stories
and they
could not death.
Stayed right there. And
why would they stay there? There's no plan to escape in the middle of the arena.
Well, because Jay just throws him the other goddamn grappling hook. If they had just stayed there, but they had already run off, and then shit just got stupid.
No, Chan, I'm going to say right now, that's a reach. I think you're angry at this for making too much sense.
Then Kay gets swallowed up. Nobody fucking believes he's dead, but we have to go through this whole thing. Oh, he was my favorite, and he's meant so much, and now we got to get vengeance for him, brother.
I believed Kay was dead in this moment. I thought in season 4 we'd take it in a new direction, much like the Men in Black movies did, if you remember.
The Men in Black.
If not.
If you remember.
I do not.
Galaxy Defenders.
And I accepted the reality that in this cartoon world that Kay was dead from being eaten by a giant arena gladiator monster.
Well, then you do not understand how cartoons work, sir. You would think after 10 years of watching them, you might understand.
I was ready to accept the reality that this show was presenting me. And I'm sorry that believing in something is so sacrilegious to you both.
It has to be something believable. They have to make an effort first.
Look, they ain't paying Tommy Lee Jones for this. They can kill whoever they want to.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Hi, I'd like a chicken whopper and 67 big kids meals, please.
67?
Yep, 2 for my kids and 65 for their little alien friends.
Oh, alien friends. Big heads, green skin, right?
Actually, they're kind of good.
Right. Thanks.
I'll get a booth. I'll get the booster seat.
What the hell? BK is out of this world, because in every big kids meal, you can get an alien agent or gear from the Men in Black. You can use the Watch the Pleasant and Communicator to become your own special agent. There's your own. You can start your Men in Black adventure today.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
Jay fights the guards. He gets brought to heel because he can't. But Kay, at the end of the day, there's a grenade that's present and thrown at the feet of the giant gladiatorial arena monster, and it kills the monster, I think. It was a little unclear.
Yeah, he just passes out.
We're not like, allowed to kill anyone in cartoons, so I think he just got a little sleepy noggin.
I guess. We never see him again, for the record, unless I'm mistaken.
No,
you're correct. Dead.
Jay goes back with the worms to the bowels of the arena. And this is a very Thor Ragnarok situation where he's talking to the rock monster.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're
having this. Obviously, this episode is the inspiration for Thor Ragnarok. Taika Waititi. I see you. I am on to you.
Mm-hmm.
Shame he didn't get Pat Fraley to voice any of the.
If he would have, it would have been next level. I'm not going to lie. But Jay, you're going to fight tomorrow. And then they come back 2 seconds later and say, Jay, you're fighting tonight. And this leads us to the sound poll I requested. You guys, I did it ahead of time. Chan's a Johnny on the spot. The worms were, in my mind, amazing as inmates in this moment.
Sure you can, Jay.
You betcha.
Chin up, buckaroo.
Remember the Maine.
Attica! Attica!
I need no more than remember the Maine and an Attica chant. Amazing.
That was very funny.
Well done.
This is before they come to get him because he tries to get all of the gladiators to turn to, rebel and
not just turn Chan. He's like a Starbucks employee or a Tesla employee trying to unionize, the most dangerous threat on the planet.
Mm.
And they're treated like Starbucks and Tesla workers. He's thrown into an arena to fight his friends.
My favorite part is that completely out of context.
Money? Is that like whack?
They sound super Marxist. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, man. Destroy capitalism.
Yeah. He might as well be reading Marx on the showroom floor. Yeah. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. What are we talking about here?
That's not whack here.
Yeah. He also called something whack. So the gag for like a minute and a half is them calling everything else whack.
Uh-huh.
And I was on board. I liked it. I thought it was funny.
It was kind of funny.
So it's time to fight again. Second time in the arena. It's Jay versus the Worm Friends. And this is what really upset me. Because before he knows who he's fighting, Jay, who has just been in the slave pits, trying to unionize, telling them that they need to rise up against their oppressors, telling all the other gladiatorial slaves they are better than their current station in life,
uh-huh,
and they need to respect themselves as such, gets into the gladiatorial arena to fight again. And immediately his inner monologue is, I'm going to mother effing murder whatever comes through that gate. I am here to kill. You, these are your political allies. Why are you so ready to murder people who you know are slaves and don't want to be there?
All right, bring it on. Whatever you got. Slobbering Krellnoth, two-handed horse jack, whatever.
I did like that he was looking for a two-headed horse jack.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm reasonably certain that was like an actual gag and not like...
So. But the ludonarrative dissonance of him immediately trying to like make friends and allies with all the known slaves to then being put in the pit and being foaming at the mouth to murder the known slave that will oppose him really upset me a lot. What are you going to try to do? Make me get on board with Confederates during the Civil War? We already know that's not going to work.
Well, not for you.
How did they?
I'm gonna walk away from that comment.
When they leave the slave planet, it's still a slave planet, right?
100%.
No, it's not. There's a rebellion, Gina. Don't you remember?
But that's going to be squashed, and they're going to be fed to the meat grinder, right?
Chances are good, but we leave on a positive moment.
I'm just here for the lackluster peas and carrots moment.
Boo. I mean, I've heard worse. Look, now here's the deal. So the fans are still there that same night to see another fight involving Jay, where the most exciting thing in arena history has ever happened, with like combatants rappelling from the roof and using guns and grenades and guards having to be called to quell the whole thing. And then we get that same combatant back in the arena, seemingly a half hour later, where the same fans are ready for blood. They are too eager to throw vegetables for my liking. Jay asked the worms to, fake the fight. And after comfortably 10 seconds of non-combat, there are tomatoes on the battlefield.
Alien tomatoes. They're different.
Alien tomatoes and cabbage. I don't know what the other thing
is. They should not bring these alien vegetables back because I feel like they would wreak havoc on our whole system.
It's like the frogs.
Wreak havoc on my system. Yeah. Jesus. Normal tomatoes wreak havoc on my system.
Jan, there's something wrong with your system.
Yeah, it's fucking old.
You guys, I've been pooping a lot lately.
Good.
Was that
like twice a day?
Damn it, Ray.
That's a lot.
That is not a lot, you guys. You need to be eating more fiber. What is wrong with you?
No, that's an uncomfortable amount. I usually go like once every 2 to 3 days.
You guys are not healthy. You need to be eating more fruits and vegetables.
Look, I don't inhale laxatives like Gina does. Yeah.
Listen, if you're not pooping 3 to 5 times a day, you need to be eating more fiber.
Jeez. Are you pooping five times a day?
Up to five times a day. Three to who five.
Who poops five times a day?
People who eat a lot of fruits and vegetables.
I'm at two and I need to see a doctor.
People who eat a lot of vegetables. Talk to a doctor about why you are not pooping more than every other day.
Now look, I did go to my doctor and I said, "Doctor, my back has been hurting," and I took x-rays because for like 2 weeks I was in a lot of pain recently. And the doctor said, "Look, I didn't see any structural damage to your spine, but I did notice an elongated colon. Maybe you need to poop more."
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm pooping two times a day. My back feels great, but I am worried. Gina, I am worried. No one should poop as much as you do.
Nope. I eat fruits and vegetables with every single meal.
Mm-hmm.
And
so do I.
I don't think you do, Chan. I've seen the candy you keep at your place
of Gina Ippolito. And also Chan does eat a lot of candy. I can verify that.
I have a child, you guys.
Look, I eat a lot of candy too. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. I will admit it as well. It's just too much pooping. It's unpleasant.
A lot.
That is not a lot.
Anytime Gina tells me it's normal, I know it's not.
Yeah, the more Gina's like, "This is amazing. You guys need to do it more. You got to be on the shitter constantly, or I don't know what's wrong with you."
I only know how to write TV on the toilet. I'm
also,
Gina
you should be drinking a lot of water. You should be eating a lot of fiber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm doing both of those things a lot in my current position because that's what's available, but I'm on the toilet a lot.
Well, you're not supposed to spend a lot of time on the toilet. You're supposed to.
I get there at the last second.
Oh my God.
And barely get it out in time. I like to wait. I like to edge my pooping.
Oh my
Gina
God.
Gina here going, "Oh my God." Like she's not the one that's initiated this mass crapping.
Ray was the one who brought it up. Play back the tape.
I'm excited for the people who made it here in the 45th to 50th minute of the show for the poop discussion, but I feel like it needs to be said. I'm uncomfortable with this level of bowel.
You need to be pooping more. You need to eat fruits and vegetables, exercise a little bit each day, and drink water.
But five times a day is not
good. I said up
to
five times a day.
Yeah, up to means five times possible.
Listen, how was your guys' last physical? What was your cholesterol? What was your blood pressure? How many medications are you guys on? Because I know
my cholesterol was terrible.
Perfect health.
So they put me on cholesterol medication. So my last physical, it was good.
You know who's not, you know who's not on medications? Me.
My last
You're also like 10 years younger, I would say, for the record.
And how long have you been unhealthy, Ray? What would you say?
Oh, since I quit wrestling 15 years ago, mm-hmm, I have mm-hmm. Facebook proof.
Mm-hmm.
I was in really good shape. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not now.
Mm-hmm.
Are we done with this episode?
You're the one that wants to talk about everybody's asshole.
I didn't start this conversation. Ray brought it up.
You're by God going to finish it, aren't you?
I started
because you're
it
giving
knowing
bad medical advice on a podcast. We're not Joe Rogan, you guys.
Listen, I'm just saying consider the flat earth theory. Consider it for 5 seconds.
If it'll get us more money, I'll hawk whatever supplements you want, man.
Chan, here's the deal. You're my next guest in MRA. Let's go home.
Yeah, man. I poop like 40 times a day. I feel great.
You know what I'm really into? The works of Marcus Aurelius and Stoicism. That'll get you 5 million out the gate.
Pow, pow.
Don't react to anything, you goddamn beta. I speak shit, Gen Z.
The aliens that they
were
trying to
bring us back. Oh, that's
we were
going to show up.
Yeah, look, the sun is peeking through the roof. It hurts everybody. The sun is on fire. Kay reappears, and to the show's credit, won't talk about it.
You skip the part where the aliens show up and then proceed to wreak holy havoc. And that's when...
Oh, yeah.
That's when the men in black, the people at home, managed to short circuit the sun. Like, yes. Make it blaze super bright, freaking everybody out.
The intended captors, the weirds, show up teleported because the guy who screwed up tries to just warp them in, and they're awesome. They are warriors here to fight, and I love them. But
Warps?
You told me they were the warps.
Oh, we get it.
He's a mistake.
There is a resemblance.
From classic physiques.
See, those are good bits.
That's a good payoff. Dude, like, the warps, excuse
mixed
me.
Mixed it up instead of just, like, hammering the coffee thing, man. It would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there. At this moment, there's a slave revolt where all the gladiators come in. They abduct the emperor and his entire team, a thing I wish would happen, allegedly, in the United States of the year 2025. Obviously, that's parody. I don't wish that at all. Hail to our leaders. They're abducting people off the streets, y'all. So, not me.
And yes, the fact that Kay doesn't explain how he got around. They sort of like do a little bit, but...
He went out his butt.
He doesn't chew its food. I get
yeah,
it.
He said, and he says, but how did you get out? And he's like, let's not get into it. It's he went out the butt, dude.
Yeah,
good thing that
he doesn't chew his food
five times a day.
And his stomach acid doesn't do shit. Kay crawled through miles of colon.
you don't know that monster has the same innards as we do.
I don't, but yet somehow I do. Gina, I'm a white guy. I know things.
You drink and you know things?
I'm going to say right now, Peter Dinklage is my hero.
Same.
Yeah. Why lie? Chan, I'm sorry, you had a point.
I don't remember what it was.
Look, they take the ruling class to the beasts in the arena to feed them to the beasts, and our heroes go home, and we need think about this situation no more.
Show's no over.
More. It's over. Get out of here. Men in black.
Here come the men in black.
Yeah, I genuinely enjoyed this cartoon. This is a show I wish I would have known about. I guess I was tangentially aware about it, but...
Did you say tangentially?
I did, and I realized in the moment that I was messing up, and I was hoping no one would call me out on it. And then there's Gina to make sure no stone goes unturned.
For a second, I was like, I'm not sure if you know that it's actually again. Listen, we need to correct people, otherwise we're no better than Joe Rogan.
It's tangentially, folks.
No, not if you're hanging outside, just on a warm but not overly hot day. Without a shirt on, just trying to like darken your skin just a little bit.
Then you're tanning gently.
I tan gently, yes. Thank you.
I'm so mad at you both right now. But I talked about pooping for like 5 minutes on the show. What nerve do I have to get mad about content? I ask you. That's Men in Black. Thank you for being... If you're still here at this point of the episode, honestly, we owe you a medal.
Or
you deserve a service award.
To any number of poop fetish websites, because clearly that's what you're here for.
What I'm really upset about is that you have that many poop fetish websites ready to go.
Are you upset, Ray? Or
I'm not into poop.
Not yet, you're not.
What do you mean, not yet? I would like to believe at my advanced age, I would have decided at this point whether or not I was into poop.
Chan's going to threaten you into poop, and then you're going to like it.
Look, I met people back in my restaurant days 150 years ago in their 20s who I was shocked to find out they were a couple, and they enjoyed pooping on each other and then boning with the poop between them so they could smear it around on their bodies. Yeah, we talk about that shit in restaurants.
This is exactly why I never go to Buca di Beppo.
How'd you know?
Just a
uncomfortably, Gina did not walk away from that concept.
Listen, nope. Buca di Beppo, when you're here, you're family.
When you hear, we poop in between us and rub it around.
When you hear, you're going to watch.
Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.